8:07 Monday morning, Kay Winkleman. Good morning to you.
Good morning, January 9th.
It is
already
all day long.
Our very first Monday of the year with Mayor Dean Andrews. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. It's starting off to be a pretty good year. I think it's going to be a sunny day today. So what else more can we ask for?
Very beautiful day.
And it's such a fun time of year.
It is.
Because we get to talk about budget.
Oh, that's my favorite topic. Let's get this going.
Isn't that everybody's favorite topic?
Grin and bear it.
Yeah.
So where are you at with this?
Well, we're just starting off. We've had two budget meetings so far with just all the different department heads coming in. The library, we've had Park and Rec, the water department, the wastewater department, the public safety department, just come in and kind of telling us what their proposed budgets are, what they would like to see in the next year. And so the council's just kind of in a listening stage right now. And then we kind of get all these budgets in. Like I say, the council's in a listening stage. The people who are doing all the work right now are the department heads, and especially Steve Deers, our city administrator, and Trudy O'Donnell, our city clerk. They're putting in a lot of time right now getting all these budgets put together and kind of presenting them to the council. And then once we've heard from everybody, then we'll see, kind of look at those different proposals and decide what we can afford and what we can't afford, because that's the big deal. I don't know if you've seen, but the valuations in town have actually gone up by about $12 million or something in that neighborhood. But the valuations that we can tax upon, called the taxable valuations, have actually gone down again. And this is the second year in a row that the valuations that we can levy taxes on have gone down, which then means that if you have lower valuations, you have lower tax revenue. So Steve has predicted that probably with a change this year will be about $30,000 less than what we had for income last year from taxes. Now, that's not our only source of income, but it's our biggest source of income, and it's our source of income that pays for all the general fund items, which is streets, park, library, and public safety. Water, wastewater, you pay your water bill every month, and so that's where the money comes from to pay for those services, is your water bill that you pay, and it also includes your wastewater bill. But all these other funds come out of this general fund, which is a limited amount of money, because we can only levy $8.10 per $1,000 of your valuation. That's the maximum the state allows. And we've been at that level for a year. Back when I was on the council 20 years ago, we were at that level. So it's not like, well, we need more money, let's just raise taxes. Well, we can't, because we're at the maximum already. And so the other thing that's hurt us then is the state has, over the last several years, done what they call rollbacks. So if you own a home in Charles City, well, in the state of Iowa, you only pay 56% of the valuation of that home. So say you own a $100,000 home, the rollback on residential is 56%. So that means you're paying taxes on $56,000, not $100,000. So if the tax rate is 1 cent per $1,000, it's 1 cent times 56, not 1 cent times 100. And that's been in place for quite a while. But what they've also done now is multi-residential, like such as apartments, used to be at 90%, and they're gradually, over the period, I think they started a year or two, gradually decreased that to where it's going to get to the same rate as the residential. So it's going to be, instead of paying taxes on 90% of that valuation, it's eventually getting to be 56%. Commercial properties, They've started making an automatic rollback on them, and that the first 150, again, commercial properties are at 50% of their valuation, or excuse me, 90% of their valuation. But they've said on the first $150,000 of that valuation, you're going to pay the same as what the residential people pay, which is only 56%. So the first $150,000 of your commercial property, you're paying at 56%. Once you get to that $150,000 or more, then you pay on 90%. So all those things just go into making it why our valuations have gone up, but our taxable valuations have gone down. So that just means we just have a limited budget to work with. And like I say, this year, probably $30,000 less. Now, $30,000 in the city budget is not tremendous, but it's certainly less than if, you know, we used to, you know, used to be always every year valuations would go up and you get a little bit more tax money because the valuations went up. Well, that's not the case now. And so we have a lot of things that we're looking at that, you know, people are saying, well, here's what we would like, the different parts to say, here's what we'd like to do. Well, all those, pretty much all those that come in, their askings are more than what we have budgeted for revenues for that department. So now we're going to have to decide how are we going to try to provide all the services that we're used to with a limited pot of money. So it's a trick.
So with that said, I'm sure there are a list of priorities and then a list of wants. Am I correct on that?
You are very correct on that.
So can you talk about what the priorities are?
Well, you know, we had our goal-setting session back in November, and we kind of talked about what our priorities are. And the first, I would say the top three were emergency medical services, which is police, fire, and ambulance, all three. Housing, we feel we have a lack of housing in all areas, whether that be workforce housing, apartments, high-end housing, townhouses, all those. We could use more of all of those things. I think we talked last month about the Union House over here that, you know, they had 33 apartments available and they were all taken up in about 2 months' time. So obviously there's people looking for places to live in Charles City. And then the third one is broadband. And I know Omnitel has come in and started to do some offering in the downtown area, but you know, it used to be that if you had high-speed broadband, that was kind of cool. You know, I have high-speed broadband. Well, now high-speed broadband is almost it's not a want; it's almost a necessity. Especially if you're somebody who wants to, you know, you like Charles City, you want to live in a small town, but your job is, you know, your skills are at a business that doesn't exist here. Well, you can still live in Charles City and work for a company in Chicago if you have the right internet accesses. So that's a big deal for us to try to get that. So, but housing and broadband have been long-term needs that we've had, and we're still trying to figure out how to solve that. And there is actually a housing committee that's been kind of reactivated through the Area Development Corporation that's trying to work on and probably looking at how can we do some incentives to people so they can afford, because that's the problem with housing right now. You build a house, and if you're just a builder, you can hardly sell that house for the cost of what it costs you to build it. And if you're somebody who lives in a, you know, an older home in town and maybe a 2 or 3 bedroom home, and you want to buy, say, one of the new facilities out there where Jefferson School used to be, those are selling for $225,000. You probably can't sell your 3 bedroom home that was built in the 60s for $225,000. So how do you move from one to the other and make your home, which is bigger, available to somebody who has a young family or something like that? So, but the biggest one that we do have some control. I shouldn't say control, but we have some flexibility is the fire department. And we always say, well, we have a full-time fire department. We don't have even close to a full-time fire department. We have, until our recent retirements, we had 4 full-time firefighters, which means that we were able to have somebody at the fire station 24/7. But when they get to the fire, it's the volunteers who come that actually put out the fires, because those 4 firefighters are getting the trucks ready to go. The chief is, you know, just kind of coordinating everything. So the firefighters, for the most part, are volunteers. And so the question becomes, do we continue with our model that we have now, which is a chief and 4 firefighters, even though, like I say, currently we aren't at 4 because we've had some retirements, or do we go to having a chief and then all volunteers? It's a hard one to say, well, because people say, well, it's not going to be as good if you have all the volunteers. Well, we think it can be, but you know, the other problem these days is finding volunteers. And we see that not only in the fire department, but the police reserve, the Rotary Club, the churches all have a hard time finding volunteers. We have had an uptick in our volunteer interest here in the last several months, and so that's been good. We have people who are wanting to do that job, but you know, how sustainable can that be? On the other hand, if we're looking to get full-time firefighters, how sustainable is that? Are there people out there that want to, you know, come to Charles City and be a full-time firefighter? So it's a real hard situation.
So of those three, our emergency services, housing, and broadband, what's the number one then?
Right now, I'd say it's emergency services, okay, because the housing and the broadband are more of a long-term game. We have to make a decision on what we're going to do fire-wise in this mm-hmm. budget season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to be making a decision on that in the next couple months. The other two we're certainly working on, but there's not going to be a solution to those in the next couple months. And, you know, Steve Deers, our city administrator, has given us a projection that if we have a chief and one full-time person at the fire station, that the chief would work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, which right now the chief is a shift worker, and so the chief is not always there because he's taking a shift just like the other firemen were. But the one proposal is to have a chief who would be there 9 to 5 and then have maybe one full-time fire. We have one full-time firefighter currently. Or have a chief and 4 full-time firefighters. To do those extra 3 full-time firefighters would cost us probably conservatively about $170,000 a year extra in our budget. And that comes out of this general fund that I was talking about earlier that's, you know, kind of limit, you know, we're at the ceiling of that. So the question is, you know, can we afford $170,000? Or then, you know, the alternative to that question is, can we afford not to have those firefighters on staff? So that's what and we've had a little bit of discussion already, and there's some discussion going on with the council, which is the better way. You know, we have people kind of on both sides of the fence, which is okay. You know, we want people to express their opinions because we aren't going to come up with a good solution if we don't have some discussion about it. So, you know, we're certainly looking for input from the community, you know, to talk to myself or the council people and tell them what you think. But it's also good, you know, that's why I've told you guys 100 times, I think, that's why I like doing this show, because you can get the factual information out there as opposed to saying, well, if we don't have a full-time fire department, there's not going to be a fireman come to my house for an hour and it'll take forever, you know, or whatever. There, like I say, there's advantages and disadvantages to both sides. The council is just going to have to decide which is the best way to go. And what can we afford? You know, if we go with, say we did go with the 4 full-time firefighters, that means there's $172,000 used up that we really don't have. So does that mean we're gonna close the library 2 days a week? Are we gonna, you know, close the swimming pool? Somebody was talking the other day about a swimming pool in some city. I don't know if it was New Hampton or anyway, some city that their pool was only open on weekdays because they couldn't find enough lifeguards to be open on the weekends, which we would think would be the prime time when you want your pool open on the weekends. But so don't quote me on that, New Hampton, but I don't know if it was them or not, but some city they were talking about their pool was only open weekdays. And so again, if you can't find lifeguards, or in this case, if we're cutting and you can't afford lifeguards, then maybe your pool's only open 3 days a week, or opens at 1 and closes at 4, or whatever. Something's going to have to give, I guess. Somewhere.
So talk about the next opportunity for listeners to go to the city council meeting, maybe discuss this.
Yeah, that's a good question. We have like a workshop session tonight, but again, that's just going to be presentation of different departments. I can't tell you right offhand, but it'll be in the next couple weeks when we actually have the sessions where we actually have discussion. And we'll have to make sure that we get that publicized well, because that's a good point, Chris, that, you know, if our meetings are open, we do our regular meetings on Zoom. We aren't doing these workshop sessions on Zoom just because the logistics don't work very well. We kind of, instead of sitting up at the council table, the council likes to kind of sit down on the floor and sit around a table and have a round table, a square table discussion, as opposed to kind of sitting up there in a row where discussion doesn't happen as well. So the meetings are certainly open to the public. They just aren't on Zoom. So we'll have to make sure that we get that publicized when our discussion sessions are going to be. So it'll be probably, like I say, in the next couple of weeks sometime, but not this week. And but like I say, well, I'll make sure that we get that information out, and we, you know, we'll maybe mention it at our regular meetings when our discussion meetings are going to be. And you know, our agendas are always published. And so, you know, like today it says workshop session, and then it has 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, foster grandparents, housing department, et cetera, et cetera. Once we get to those other sessions, it'll be budget discussion. And that's when the time when there will be the discussion on where, what direction are we going to go.
All right. Any other questions, Kay?
Not for now. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's going to be a busy month.
When I come back in a month from now, maybe we'll have a few more answers to these questions.
That'd be good.
The budget doesn't really have to be finished until about the middle of February. And then I think it has to be published with the state the first part of March. So, yeah, we're not going to be coming to any conclusions here in the next week or so. But it is a process. But eventually there will be an end. And Steve and Trudy will be very happy when
that
end
sure
gets here.
I'm sure they will.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Dean, for joining us. And we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Very good. Thanks, you guys.
All right. Thank you. That was Mayor Dean Andrews here on KCHA. We're going to be talking with the Charles City Public Library next.